At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Imagine a glass sitting in front of you. Inside is a deep amber liquid that catches the light like a jewel. You give it a gentle swirl, and as you bring it to your nose, you're met with a complex tapestry of aromas. Vanilla, caramel, a hint of toasted oak, and a subtle wisp of spice. When you finally take a sip, it's warm and smooth, a rich flavor that unfolds across your palate and lingers long after you've swallowed. This is whiskey, but have you ever stopped to wonder how it becomes this complex and beautiful thing? It doesn't come out of the still looking and tasting this way. It starts its life as a clear, fiery, and often harsh liquid, made from little more than grain, water, and yeast. So how does it transform from that raw spirit into the smooth, flavorful whiskey in your glass? The secret doesn't just lie in the ingredients, it lies in a long, patient, and magical process of transformation that happens inside a simple wooden barrel. Welcome back to How Does That Work? In today's episode, we're uncorking the secrets of barrel-aged whiskey. We're going to follow the incredible journey of this spirit, from a humble field of grain to the fiery heart of a distillery, and finally into the dark, quiet confines of a charred oak barrel where the real magic happens. We'll discover how a simple container made of wood and metal hoops does more than just hold the liquid. It breathes, it filters, and it infuses the spirit with all the color, aroma, and flavor that we associate with a great whiskey. This is the story of how time and wood work together to create one of the world's most beloved spirits. The story of how we discovered the magic of the barrel isn't one of careful scientific planning, but rather one of happy accidents and practicality stretching back centuries. The journey begins not with a desire to make a beverage, but with the ancient art of distillation. Early alchemists in the Middle East developed the process to create perfumes and medicines, believing the potent, concentrated liquids they made held the very essence of life. This knowledge eventually traveled to Europe, where monks in Ireland and Scotland in the Middle Ages adopted the technique. They didn't have grapes for brandy, but they had an abundance of grain. They used their stills to turn their humble beer into a clear, fiery spirit they called Uisce Beatha in Gaelic, which translates to the water of life. This early spirit was potent and raw, drunk clear and unaged, valued more for its warming, medicinal properties than for its taste. For hundreds of years, this unaged spirit was the norm. The idea of aging it for flavor simply didn't exist. The barrel, at the time, was just the most convenient and sturdy container available. It was the cardboard box or the plastic tub of its day, used to transport everything from wine and water to nails and salted fish. When distillers needed to store their spirit or ship it to a nearby town or across the sea, they poured it into whatever oak barrels they had on hand, which were often reused after holding wine, sherry, or port. It was over the course of these long, bumpy journeys that the magic started to reveal itself. People began to notice that the spirit that came out of the barrel at the end of a long trip tasted noticeably different from the one that went in. It was smoother, gentler, and had picked up a pleasant sweetness and a faint golden or reddish color from the wood. The constant sloshing and the long months inside the oak container had mellowed the harsh spirit in a way no one had intended, marking the accidental discovery of barrel aging. When immigrants, particularly from Scotland and Ireland, brought their distilling knowledge to America, they found a new world of ingredients. They began making their spirit from the abundant local grains, especially rye and corn. This new American whiskey was still stored and shipped in barrels, but a uniquely American innovation would soon change everything forever. Charring the barrel. The exact origin is lost to history, but legend often credits a Baptist minister and distiller named Elijah Craig. The story goes that he accidentally charred the inside of some of his barrels in a fire and, being a frugal man, decided to use them anyway. He discovered that the whiskey aged in these blackened barrels was dramatically better. The character acted as a powerful filter, removing impurities and smoothing the spirit, while also unlocking deeper, sweeter flavors of vanilla and caramel from the wood. This practice of using a new, charred oak barrel became the cornerstone of American whiskey. and was eventually written into law as the legal definition of bourbon. This final step, the deliberate charring of the wood, was the moment when barrel aging evolved from a happy accident into a true art form, transforming the barrel from a simple container into the most important tool for shaping the final character of the whiskey. The life of a whiskey begins in a field, with grains like corn, rye, barley, or wheat. The specific recipe of grains a distiller uses is called the mash bill, and it's the first step in defining the whiskey's ultimate character. For example, a bourbon must use at least 51% corn, which gives it its signature sweetness. A rye whiskey, on the other hand, will have a spicier, more robust flavor. Once the grains are selected, they are ground into a coarse flour called grist. This grist is then mixed with hot water in a giant tank called a mash tun. Cooking the grains is a critical step because it breaks down the starches in the grain and converts them into fermentable sugars. The result of this process is a sweet porridge-like liquid called wort. The next step is to introduce the engine of alcohol creation, yeast. The sugary wort is cooled and pumped into a large fermentation tank, and a specific strain of yeast is added. This is where the first transformation happens. The yeast goes to work, feasting on all the sugars in the wort. As it consumes the sugar, it produces two things: carbon dioxide, which bubbles away, and alcohol. This process of fermentation can take a few days, and when it's finished, the liquid is no longer sweet wort. It's now a cloudy, alcoholic liquid that is essentially a simple, rustic beer, often called the distiller's beer or wash, with an alcohol content of about 7 to 10%. To turn this beer into a spirit, we need to concentrate that alcohol, and that requires the fire of distillation. Distillation works on a very simple principle. Alcohol boils at a lower temperature than water. The wash is pumped into a large copper container called a still. As the still is heated, the alcohol in the wash begins to turn into vapor before the water does. This alcohol vapor rises up through the still, leaving most of the water and other impurities behind. At the top of the still, the vapor is channeled through a cooled pipe, which causes it to condense back into a liquid. This process is usually done at least twice to purify the spirit and increase the alcohol concentration. What comes out of the still the second time is a crystal clear, high-proof spirit. It has many names: new make, white dog, or more commonly, moonshine. It's potent and raw, with a sharp flavor that tastes strongly of the grain it was made from. It has no color and none of the smooth, complex flavors of an aged whiskey. To get those, the white dog must be put to sleep in a very special kind of bed, a charred oak barrel. Making the final spirit is far more complex than just boiling the wash and collecting what comes out. In fact, that's where one of the most skillful and artistic parts of the entire process happens. Think of the spirit flowing from the still as a story with a beginning, a middle, and an end. The distiller's job is to capture only the beautiful middle part of that story. This process is known as making the cuts, and it's done by separating the spirit run into three distinct sections: the heads, the heart, and the tails. As the still heats up, the first vapors to boil off and condense are the heads, also known as foreshots. This initial liquid is full of highly volatile, low boiling point compounds, including things like methanol and acetaldehyde. You definitely don't want these in your drink. Not only can they be toxic, but they smell and taste harsh, like a sharp chemical solvent or nail polish remover. The distiller lets the heads run for a while, carefully collecting and setting them aside. The distiller monitors the flow of the new spirit constantly, often using a special glass box called a spirit safe, which allows them to see the liquid and measure its proof, or alcohol percentage. More importantly, they use their senses. They'll rub a little of the spirit between their hands and smell it, waiting for that harsh chemical smell of the heads to disappear. When the aroma changes, becoming sweet, clean, and full of fruity or floral notes, the distiller knows they have reached the prized middle section, the heart. This is the soul of the whiskey. It's rich in ethanol, the type of alcohol we drink, and all the desirable flavor-carrying compounds, called congeners, that will give the final product its unique character. This is the only part of the run that will ever make it into a barrel. The distiller will collect this heart cut for as long as those good aromas and flavors last. But eventually, as the distillation run continues and the temperature in the still rises, the character of the spirit changes again. The sweet notes fade, and heavier, oilier compounds with high boiling points start to emerge. This is the beginning of the final section, the tails, also known as faints. The tails have a less pleasant aroma, sometimes described as rubbery, grainy, or like wet cardboard. While a tiny fraction of these compounds can add complexity, too much will make the whiskey greasy and unpleasant. So the distiller makes a second cut, diverting the flow of the tails away from the heart collection tank. The skill is all in the timing. A distiller who makes a very narrow cut, taking only the purest center of the heart, will produce a very light, clean, and delicate spirit. A distiller who makes a wider cut, including a little more of the late heads or early tails, might create a heavier, more robust, and more complex spirit. This decision defines the entire style of the distillery. And don't worry, the heads and tails aren't just poured down the drain. They are typically collected and added back into the next batch of wash to be redistilled, to recover any precious alcohol they contain and ensure nothing is wasted. This is where the true art of whiskey making begins, with the barrel itself. It's not just a container, it's the most important ingredient after the spirit itself. While many types of wood could be used, the gold standard, especially for American whiskey, is American white oak. But why this specific tree? It has a few superpowers. First, it's incredibly strong and resilient. Second, and most importantly, it's naturally waterproof thanks to microscopic, balloon-like structures in its pores called tiluses. These act like tiny, natural plugs that stop the wood from leaking, which is a pretty crucial feature for a barrel meant to hold liquid for a decade, but its real magic lies in its chemical makeup. The wood contains three key compounds that are the building blocks of flavor: hemicellulose, lignin, and tannins. When heated, hemicellulose breaks down into wood sugars, laying the foundation for notes of caramel, toffee, and butterscotch. Lignin is the source of the iconic vanilla flavor. It releases an aromatic compound called vanillin, as well as subtle spice notes. Finally, tannins provide structure, spice, and a gentle astringency that gives the whiskey complexity and a dry finish. The barrel is a treasure chest of flavor, waiting to be unlocked by fire. Unlocking that flavor is the job of the cooper, the master barrel maker, who becomes both a craftsman and a chef in this step. The process is a deliberate two-part trial by fire. First comes toasting. The assembled barrel, without its heads on, is placed over a small, controlled flame. This is a slow, gentle heating process that penetrates deep into the staves of the wood. The goal of toasting is to begin breaking down that hemicellulose and lignin, creating the foundational sweet and spicy flavors deep within the wood. The cooper can choose a light, medium, or heavy toast, each creating a different base flavor profile. After toasting comes the charring. This is a much more dramatic and intense process. A powerful roaring flame is blasted into the inside of the barrel for a very short period, anywhere from 15 seconds to a minute. This intense heat does two critical things. It creates a thick layer of charcoal on the innermost surface of the wood. This charcoal acts as a powerful natural filter, actively removing harsh sulfur compounds and other impurities from the white dog as it ages. Secondly, the intense heat cracks and fissures the surface of the wood, creating what's known as an alligator char, because it looks like the rough, scaly hide of an alligator. These cracks dramatically increase the surface area of the barrel, allowing the spirit to bypass the charcoal layer and interact directly with the deeply toasted, flavor-rich wood that lies just beneath. This carefully crafted combination of a filtering charcoal layer and accessible, delicious wood sugars is the perfect environment to transform a raw, clear spirit into a complex amber whiskey. Once the white dog is sealed inside the barrel, it's moved to a warehouse, often a massive multi-story building called a rickhouse, to begin aging. But this building isn't just passive storage, it's an active participant in the whiskey's maturation, and a barrel's specific address within its walls will fundamentally change the spirit it creates. Traditional rickhouses, especially in places like Kentucky with hot summers and cold winters, are not climate controlled. This means the top floors can bake in the summer sun, reaching temperatures of over 120 degrees Fahrenheit, 50 degrees Celsius, while the bottom floors stay cool and damp. This temperature difference is the engine of aging. On those scorching upper floors, the whiskey expands dramatically, pushing deep into the wood's char layer. The dry heat also affects what evaporates, the angels share. In a hot, dry environment, water molecules escape through the wood faster than the larger alcohol molecules. This means that over years of aging, the whiskey on the top floors not only becomes darker and more intensely flavored with oak, spice, and vanilla, but its alcoholic proof can actually increase, creating a powerful concentrated proof bomb. Down on the first floor, the story is completely different. In the cool, damp air, the whiskey breathes much more slowly and gently. Here, the laws of evaporation are flipped. The surrounding air is humid, so less water leaves the barrel. Instead, the more volatile alcohol is what escapes as the angels share. This means that a barrel aging on the bottom floor will often decrease in proof over time, resulting in a spirit that is softer, more delicate, and with a gentler flavor profile. The exact same spirit, from the same batch and in the same type of barrel, can end up as two completely different whiskies simply based on whether it aged near the roof or near the ground. This incredible variation turns the Rickhouse into a master blender's spice rack. The distiller has a mental map of every warehouse, knowing that barrels from the sunny, south-facing side of Warehouse C will be different from those in the cool, north-facing corner of Warehouse H. When it comes time to create a specific brand of whiskey, they don't just bottle the contents of one barrel. They act like a chef, selecting barrels from dozens of different locations to build a complex and balanced flavor profile. They might take a high-proof, vanilla-heavy barrel from a top floor, a lower-proof, softer barrel from the bottom floor, and a spicier barrel from a middle floor, blending them together to hit the exact notes they want. This is why the blender's art is so revered. They are not just mixing liquids, they are weaving together the unique histories of barrels that have lived in different neighborhoods of the same house. Now, while the American tradition of using brand new, heavily charred oak barrels creates the bold, sweet, vanilla-forward character of bourbon and rye, it's just one of many philosophies when it comes to aging whiskey. If we travel across the Atlantic to Scotland, the home of Scotch whiskey, we find a completely different relationship with the barrel. By law, Scotch must be aged in oak casks, but the vast majority of these are used barrels. The Scots are masters of recycling, primarily using barrels that once held American bourbon. These ex-bourbon barrels, having already given much of their strong, raw oak flavor to the first fill of whiskey, impart a more subtle character on the Scotch, with softer notes of vanilla, honey, and citrus. Scottish distillers also famously use barrels that once held Spanish sherry, which lend rich flavors of dried fruit, nuts, and spice to the whiskey. This focus on the history of the barrel, what it held before, is a key part of the Scotch flavor puzzle. Furthermore, many Scottish whiskies, particularly from the island of Islay, are made from barley that has been dried over a fire fueled by peat. Peat is a dense, soil-like accumulation of decayed vegetation. Burning it creates an intensely aromatic smoke that infuses the barley with flavors we describe as smoky, medicinal, or maritime, a powerful character that then softens and integrates with the barrel's flavors over many long years in Scotland's cool, damp climate. Hopping over to Ireland, we find another unique approach. Like the Scots, Irish whiskey makers primarily use ex-bourbon and ex-sherry barrels, valuing the subtle influence of a seasoned cask. But two key differences in their process change the spirit that goes into that cask. First is the tradition of triple distillation. While Scotch is typically distilled twice, the Irish often do it a third time. This extra step removes even more of the heavy, oily compounds, resulting in a spirit that is exceptionally smooth, light, and clean before it ever touches wood. This lighter spirit acts as a cleaner canvas, allowing the gentle flavors from the used barrel to shine through more clearly. Second is the classic Irish pot still style, which uses a mash bill of both malted and unmalted barley. The unmalted barley contributes a distinct, spicy, and almost oily texture that is the signature of this style. When this unique spirit ages in a used barrel, the result is a whiskey celebrated for its smoothness and approachable, fruity, and gently spicy character. Finally, if we look to the east, to Japan, we find a tradition born from a deep respect for Scottish methods, but elevated by a unique philosophy of precision and balance. The Japanese import many of the same ex-bourbon and ex-sherry barrels, but they are also famous for their use of a rare and expensive native oak called Mizunara. Mizunara oak is difficult to work with, but for those who master it, it rewards the spirit with truly unique and exotic flavors of sandalwood, incense, and coconut. Beyond the wood, the Japanese approach to making whiskey is one of relentless perfectionism. A single distillery might have multiple different shapes and sizes of copper pot stills, use several different proprietary yeast strains, and age their spirit in 5 or 6 different types of barrels simultaneously. This gives their master blenders an incredibly diverse palette of flavors to work with. While a Scottish distillery might trade barrels with another distillery to get a different character for their blend, a Japanese distillery will often create every single style they need in-house. This allows them to create blends of incredible complexity and harmony, turning the art of making whiskey into a finely tuned science. Of course, this process comes at a cost. Because the wood of the barrel is porous, a small amount of the whiskey, mostly alcohol and water, evaporates right through the wood and disappears into the air each year. This lost volume is famously and poetically known as the Angel's Share. The amount lost depends heavily on the climate. In a hot, dry place, the Angel's Share can be significant, which is one reason why older whiskies are so much more expensive. After years of patiently sleeping in the dark, breathing in the essence of the oak, and giving a little bit back to the angels, the master distiller will decide the whiskey is finally ready. It's then removed from the barrel, often diluted with pure water to reach the desired bottling strength, and finally put into the glass bottles we see on the shelf. The final product is a testament to the power of time, a beautiful collaboration between grain, yeast, fire, and wood, where a simple wooden barrel has acted as a filter, a flavor enhancer, and a cradle, transforming a raw spirit into a smooth, elegant, and complex whiskey.